In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning, church. I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce myself as Scott, the youth director, the owner of the best job ever on this campus. It is my humble privilege today to get to bring the word, to dig into what God would have for us. Before I do that, I will tell you that I've seen Mr. Science. He is dope. He is super fun. So if you have little ones on the 11th or friends in town, I am telling you, I'll be in there serving, but Mr. Science is an awesome, awesome time. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jerry, actually it was probably a couple months ago, Pastor Jerry asked me if I wanted to preach, and I was like, yes, of course I do. And then a few weeks ago, he was like, do you know what you're going to preach on? And I was like, yes, I do. And so I told him I wanted to preach on fear, right? And it was fear, faith, and freedom. That's kind of what our theme is today, but it's freedom over fear. And in that moment when he asked what I was going to preach on, I was hoping he would tell me, well, that's not great, and maybe we could do this instead. Because in that moment, he would have been helping me to not just rely on my own, but he would have been teaching me and guiding me and removing all of the pressure from me. So if I bombed today, it was really on Jerry, right? But in that moment, he was like, no, fear, that sounds great. He's like, what are you going to use? And so I told him I wanted to use Romans 8, 37 through 39. Is that what I mean? Yep, through 39. And he's like, well, that's really a lot of encouragement. And I was like, yeah, but through the encouragement, we can see we don't have to be afraid, and we can see why we don't have to be afraid. I think for all of us, and we know for all of us here in a Presbyterian church, if you're a guest, this might be revelation, that's okay. We are all sinners and broken and in desperate need of a Savior. And when right after we see the fall of man in the garden, right, Adam and Eve are in community with God. They're walking around, talking, hanging out, just literally with God. We see the fall and what happens. They realize that they are naked. They clothe themselves, and then what happens next? God comes for his afternoon, morning, whatever time you want to put on at walk. People dispute that. He comes to be with them, and they do what? They hide. They hide from God. And this image to me is hilarious because I think so often in our lives, we think we can hold things back from God like he truly doesn't know everything anyway. They were in community with God and they still wanted to hide. And God says, where were you? And they said, we were hiding because we were afraid. And he's afraid, why? Did I tell you you were naked? They were, no, but I was afraid. So we see fear come in right after sin. So I believe that all of us will have all kinds of fear in our life, and one will relate to the other forever and ever. But God has told us over and over, in me you've got freedom from both. We don't have the ability any longer to not sin. We will always have our own trials and struggles and tribulations, and in that we will have fear, but hopefully because we know that we've got a God that loves us so dearly that we could let him down and it hurts us. But in those moments of fear, we can realize that we don't have to hold on to it or be slaves to it because we have freedom and victory in Christ. Amen. Before I get back into the word, if you don't mind, I'd just like to pray really quick. And then we'll get started. Thank you, God, so much for today. I just thank you for Sundays to come together with people that I love, Father, to meet new people, Father, that are brothers and sisters in Christ are seeking you. Father, I pray that as we come here truly united in desperate need of a Savior, that we all have different fears and failings, we all have different brokenness in our lives. I pray that your word would ring true over anything, that anything we say or sing or do would only be something that points us back to your grace and goodness that we don't deserve, but you loved us so much. You love us so much, present tense. You gave it for us anyway by way of Christ. We thank you. We love you, God. Amen. So the scripture today is Romans 8, 37 through 39. And Paul is speaking here, and he's trying to give them encouragement and comfort. No, there's nothing that can change who we are, whose we are. Don't be afraid. He says, no. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fear. It can hide itself in our hearts. It can manifest itself in all kinds of different ways, right? The world will tell us to take your fear. Like, I played sports and I was in business. And in both places, when you're afraid of something, you're told to run to it if you're going to be successful. To take that fear and to bottle it up and use it against itself almost to go and defeat something. To go and land that big deal, to face that pitcher who throws smoke. Whatever it might be, take that fear and you yourself figure out how to best use it and give it back. And the world is crafty, right? Because that sounds great. And we'll have moments of personal success where we will face a fear on our own and we will do something that is unimaginable, but we've left it on our own strength. And what happens inevitably is sooner or later we will continue to try out this formula of me versus the world, and what happens? The world will win, right? When we leave God out of anything, when we want to face something to try to defeat something, we've got to understand that that fear that can drive us, that the world tells us to motivate us, right? That fear, if we just leave it here, it is not going to do anything positive for us. It'll sit slowly and quietly, and it'll build and grow, and it'll show itself in your lives in different ways. But when we give that to God and we understand that any strength, power, authority we have over the things of this world isn't of us, but of Him, we can find freedom and victory. Paul lists off a bunch of things here that we could be shockingly scary and afraid and fearful. He starts with death. Death. I had the pleasure yesterday of serving at a funeral for a past student of mine, 24 years old, passed away 2 weeks ago. I got to lead this funeral, and when you're faced with death, it's interesting because, yo, I love God. Like, I love God. I love God 99.9% of the time, all the time. Like, I love God. But when we're faced sometimes with death, when I think of Sam, my friend, I think of my kids, and I think selfishly, holy smokes, like, I want to live long enough to see my kids have kids. I want to live long enough to retire and walk on a beach somewhere crazy with my wife that I don't deserve to see. And in that moment, that is fear. There's a little bit of fear there. It's not just the things that I want, but there's a little bit of fear. Because I want God so bad, but then these things in this world are so attractive and beautiful, and when you see it in front of you, it can be so conflicting and confusing, right? He was on to life. I'm pretty sure I might be the only person in the room that struggles sometimes with just daily life, right? Like, nobody's afraid of the things that are happening in your life right now. Everybody came here just ready to be super positive because everything is so good. He goes to angels and to rulers, to things present and things to come. The best part for me here on a Sunday is just to be with you guys, to receive encouragement and to see you in your faith moving along, or in your struggle pushing through your faith. It is a beautiful thing. And again, if you're like me at all, and you are, we can worry about things to come that we don't even know are coming yet. Right? We can set aside time for our vacation that's 6 months down the road, and we're worried about the weather already, and it's not till December, but here we are in July and we're worried about it, right? We can have this mystery pain somewhere in our body, and next thing you know, something's gonna fall off, and I've got to get this figured out, right? He says, powers, height, depth, or anything else in all creation, and I love God's providence. Because some people right now, some people, yo, we're supposed to be macho and tough and things don't scare us, and I've got everything I need right now. So if all the things before everything didn't scare you, like, something scared you, because God says, or anything else in all creation. So if the first things He listed didn't work, something did, right? I think about my wife at times when I think about anything else in all creation. My wife is pretty tough. She's not scared of much. 4 kids, changed a million diapers. She's married to me. But let me tell you, I struggled in this version of prep because I have like this 48-second video of me chasing her with this tiny lizard, and she is scared to death of this lizard, and wrongfully so, because this lizard can't do anything to hurt her. Nothing will change in her life. She's gonna be mad at me later, I didn't even tell her. Nothing will change in her life. And truly, God's given her the ability to crush this lizard, quite literally. but it terrifies her. And we all have things, financial ruin to a spider, whatever it is, we all have these things. Anything else in all creation, we all share in fear. The word in Matthew 6, 25 through 34 tells us, do not be anxious. Verse 25 starts, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Church, you are. We were all created by the same God with intentionality and a plan for our lives, but we get to be image bearers of God. How wonderful is that? Not one other thing is a child of God. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Yo, if you are in this place right now and you suffer from any form of anxiety or fear, I'm going to ask you straight out, do not do it alone. Do not do it alone. Because here's the thing, do you add a single hour to your life? The answer is absolutely not. If you've ever had an anxiety or a panic attack, you might literally feel like you are going to die. And God is telling you all of this worry is not going to help you to live longer. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love how so often, literally almost every time, maybe every time, you will see God give you a directive. Don't be anxious. Why would you do that? And then he says, seek me. Seek my kingdom first. Seek my righteousness first. And all of these things, it might not look like the way you want it, church. We might not get the food or the type of clothes or the house or the car that we think we deserve. But when we are seeking God's kingdom, we will understand his provision in everything that we have. Does that make sense? I did a little study on anxiety. Anxiety is something that is plaguing our young people. So I literally face it by way of a student every week of every year, sometimes every day. It's amazing the stress that we are under. It's amazing the stress our young people are under. So I pulled up a couple of quick stats. Both of them come from the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, so you know it's super legit. I checked them like four times, it's good. And these were studies out of 2017, and for adults it says, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults in the United States age 18 and older, or 18.1% of the population every year. I like kind of just rounding up, so if we go to 20%, that is 1 in 5 of us adults. 1 in 5 of us right now have some kind of issue with anxiety. And there's all kinds of different right reaches. I will talk to you today about a healer in Jesus Christ that will save you from literally everything. But I also believe that science, right? God gave us the ability to think and create and to do things. So if you are here on medication, understand I'm not telling you. Understand I'm not telling you that is not something that God has literally created for you. And children, and our children, anxiety disorders affect 25.1% of children between 13 and 18 years old. Research shows that untreated children with anxiety disorders are at higher risk to perform poorly in school, to miss out on important social experiences, and engage in substance abuse. When I think so often about the times where I've struggled with anxiety or stress, The thing literally that's helped me the most, I can remember my wife praying for me in a garage one night when I thought I was never going to survive the day. And it was just her just washing me with God's truth and promise and his providence and his love and his hope that gave me something different to calm down and to slow down my life. We see these trends all over our country, in our families and in our houses, and I wonder what is different. And sadly, usually I find that the difference is God isn't in those places, church. God came to literally heal us and to deliver us from the things that scare us the most. He's given us a hope and a glory that we don't deserve by way of Christ, his plan, the whole time. My second point is just talking about faith. And really, it's about relationship. God's been in relationship since the very beginning. He's been in relationship since the very beginning. God wasn't alone. He was working with the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit the whole time. God's been in relationship the whole time. At the beginning of creation, he was in relationship with Adam and Eve. And that relationship will build and it'll shape our faith. Faith is an interesting place to be. Like when we're seeking out our faith and we're in the process of sanctification, our faith is constantly growing, being tested and solidified, right? It's always something that is in process. The word tells us in John 14, 24 through 29, it says, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Christ says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Listen to this. "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Christ is saying, "I am giving you my peace." The world will give you things to make you comfortable, to think that you have peace, to fool you into a place of complacency and laziness in your life. And Christ says, "No, I am leaving you my peace, not the way the world would give you anything. This is of me for you." And it's amazing. He says, "You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, though when it does take place, you may believe." That is a picture of the gospel. Christ in his amazing love was foretelling of what he was going to do for his people. He was with us in very real life. He was a tangible man, God, man together on earth. And he is telling us, "I'm going to go back to the Father." We know later he talks about, "I'm going to make a place for you in my Father's house." You can see the gospel, the goodness of Jesus. Here I have an awesome opportunity to be in a seminary class. I share that with some of you in the room, and it is awesome. We read a lot, so Brother Brian and some others, you know my trouble and my toil when I read a lot. I've gotten to know this guy, John Frame, very well. If you don't know him, I recommend him. It might be the smartest stuff I've ever read in my whole entire life. John Frame, in his book, The Systematic Theology, he's got a chapter called The Means of Grace, and he talks about three things God uses basically to bestow his amazing grace on his people, things that will change our lives. Frame uses, the first thing he lists is the Word. And he says this, he says, "It is God's powerful, authoritative self-expression, so it is the power of God unto salvation. People come to Christ through the Word, not just by reading it, but by hearing it and preaching and teaching." Church, our relationship with God is paramount. It is absolutely paramount. We need to be in the Word, in time with prayer, leading our households in a way that will point them to Christ. But church, we need to be together. I love how he adds preaching and teaching, because that puts us back to corporate worship. When we are in community with each other, with other people who are chasing after Christ, that have a heart for the gospel, we can kindly and correctly correct one another, to point each other back to the place where everything begins and ends, where salvation truly happens, where life change can take place. We can point people back to the right place, each other back to the right place. He lists off Romans 1:16 through 17 to support why he believes the Word is so vital. Paul says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" We won't have all of the answers for all of life's problems. We won't have all of the exact response for the things that we face and we fear, because we want things to be super specific, to be just exactly what that situation is, when really we have the answer in God, and it's just our faith in God that will give us the answers we need. And I love that piece of scripture. The second thing Frame lists is fellowship. And he talks about how fellowship is a commonness. Fellowship is a true commonness. He talks in the chapter about how it's not just about coming together once in a while and seeing each other and then going your own separate ways, but it's about coming together in a way that's going to promote the kingdom always. The fellowship is always going to include what God's vision for his church is. You see in the Old Testament over and over, people that had less giving literally all of their things, things of their own of much value, to promote God's work through his people. When I read that, I thought, this is not about me telling you, church, to give more money, do anything like that. I will tell you something I love so deeply about our church is the relationships that I have with all of you. The way that we truly fellowship and support. I must have had 45 people today tell me they were praying for me. And I can't tell you what that means. You've got other things to do. You've got things that are on your mind, your families to deal with. But this church, I love you so much for being together in that way. The last thing he lists is prayer. Man, I love me some prayer time. Ask my wife. I'll go on long walks and she worries about me. I love to pray. And here, John Frame actually quotes another guy who's pretty smart. His name is Wayne Grudem. And he lists prayer, defines prayer as a personal communication with God, corporate or individual. He uses 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to kind of just hammer this home. And just, if you know the verse, it's short, three words: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And because I think I'm kind of smart, I wanted to expand his thought a little bit. So I went Romans 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These things, God knows. God, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. This means literally in all of your life. When God inspired this word, God did not sit there and think these people are going to live a perfect life and everything's going to be great. It's going to be easy to rejoice. It's going to be easy to give thanks. God knew better. God knew better. Rejoice always, because I am still God. God is still God, he is saying. Rejoice always. Life is going to be hard. You will face challenge. You will be afraid, but God is still God. He is letting us know, I am still God. Pray without ceasing. It's amazing that we have the opportunity to literally be in direct contact community with God simply by crying out to him. Gosh, how amazing is this God? Just talk to me. I'm still God. Give thanks in all circumstances. I don't know where you are, but God does. And he's asking you here, give thanks in all circumstances, whether you're in a bad relationship, whether you don't know what's going to happen in your future, whether whatever it is, addiction to affliction, God knows. And God is still God. In that relationship, as our faith builds and grows, church, we will find freedom. We won't find a fix. We're not all of a sudden, like I said, we won't all of a sudden no longer be, we will no longer still be afraid. Like, we will be afraid and we will still sin, but we find freedom in Christ. Christ was God's plan the whole time. God didn't get to like 500 BC and decide, oh man, these people are a mess. I got to figure something out to reset all of this, to give them something better. No. Christ was the plan the whole time. And the whole time in God's word, you just see us just calling him back to himself. In our times of trial and trouble, he's just calling us back literally to himself, and he sent himself for us. John 1, you see this pretty clear. It begins with the word became flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him too was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hallelujah. It never will. Verse 9, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Church, listen. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ came to be with us. Through him, we are something new. Sometimes we can be so afraid of our past choices and decisions, the things that happened yesterday or this morning. We can let those things dictate how we move around this life. We can let those things hold us slave or hostage to our past failings. And in Christ, we are free. We have victory. Verse 13, again, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but God, we are something new in Christ. You see the death of Jesus in John 19. After this, I'm going to go back. After this, if we don't know what the this is, I'd love to revisit it every time. It hurts me and inspires me and humbles me. After this, Christ was already betrayed. He was already tortured and shamed. He'd already carried his cross. He'd already been beaten in ways I can't imagine. Christ is on the cross for us. He could have said much anything. He could have snapped his fingers and changed the way things played out. But Christ and his confidence did that. It wasn't because he was obligated. It was because it was the plan the whole time. He was the plan. His perfect life, his perfect death, his perfect atoning sacrifice and resurrection, he was and is, will always be the plan. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. In that, church, we find so much freedom. Things will be hard. We will leave here today hopefully thinking about something in a challenging way, and we will want to make change, and guess what? We will fail and we will find ourselves afraid. My encouragement, my urge, my request, my prayer for you, for me, for all of us is that we would continue to run back to the one place that's called us home the whole time. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks at all times. God is still God. I don't care where you are. God is still God. And he loves you so deeply that he sent his son for you. Not one thing can change whose you are. The world can want to tell you who you are and what you look like and what you should be. But when you are a child of God, not one thing can change that, can separate that, can lessen that, or make it any greater, because there's not one thing better than that. Amen? I'd like to finish the same way I started. You are welcome to join with me if you would like. We'll read John 19 again, and then we will pray. And as Jerry says, we'll beat the Baptist to lunch. Sorry. He says that. Don't you say that, Jerry? You're out there. John 19, 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished. Oh, I'm in the wrong spot. Romans 8, 37 to 39. I apologize, church. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word and your truth. I thank you for Christ, God. I thank you that no matter where we've been or what we've done, Father, that as children of yours, that those things are forgotten. They are forgiven. That you've made a way by Christ, Father. We've been truly sinners washed in the blood of the only perfect Lamb. That we get to put on his righteousness before you and to be declared holy, Father. I pray for this church, for anybody here today or watching online, if they are struggling with fear or anxiety, that they would speak to a friend, that they would cry out to you, Father. That we would seek healing in your loving arms. We would not look for the world to give us pause or comfort, that we would seek you in all things, Father. Knowing with confidence, no matter where we are or what our situation is, that you are still and always will be God, our Creator and our Savior. I thank you for this church, Father. I pray for the rest of our time together this morning that you would just send us out, as Brian said, send us out on mission, Father, to go out and to share the good news, the only news that can save, that can change, that can transform lives in your name. We thank you and love you, God. And all God's people said, amen.